This week in the Famicom Dojo podcast, Vink tells us about the latest free-to-play craze sweeping Japan, and I admit to being a closet Candy Crush fanatic. Plus, more future retro and pile of shame. We'll start the podcast after I finish this turn. No, this one. No, this one. Can any of you guys send me an extra life? Hey, Vink. Yo, Vink.
Just a moment.
Sure.
It's a weekend dungeon. This expires in like 2 hours. I really have to get the money now so I can evolve my creatures during the. Never mind. Okay, let's.
Is this like the new Pokemon game or something? What is this?
No, it's not the new Pokemon. This is Puzzles and Dragons or Puzzle and Dragons. Puzzles and Dragon. One of them is plural and one of them is not.
Fascinating.
There's an English version, but it is really the biggest game in Japan right now.
So it's Japan's Candy Crush.
Yeah. Yeah, what's Candy Crush?
What?
Is it like Bejeweled kinda?
It's I'd say it's more like Panel de Pan or like Pokemon Puzzle League, but it's not even that twitchy or complicated really.
Puzzles and Dragons is like Puzzle Quest without any challenge or story.
So that sounds about right. So let me guess, it's a free to play game then?
Yeah, it's free to play. The only cost is my precious time.
Oh goodness. Why do we play these games?
I don't know. I was asking myself that the other day. Okay, now obviously me playing it right now at the beginning of the podcast was staged for us. But
the hell you say?
But a story that's true though is earlier today you were calling me because we were going to talk for a little bit in general before the podcast starts, but. I was playing Puzzles and Dragons. I'd intended to be playing Broken Age, a much, much better game. But I had to restart my computer in order to, free up the memory and stuff. So I was restarting my computer, and I'm like, I'll just play a little Puzzles and Dragons. An hour later, on my phone, it pops up. It's like, you're being called by Sean. And I'm like, I should really beat this dragon. And I'm like, he'll be okay if I don't answer right away. I'll just call him back. And I'm like, wait, what? I don't even like this game I'm playing.
Oh, goodness. Free-to-play games, ruining lives, ending marriages, and destroying podcasts.
I know. This is why Sean and I aren't married anymore.
Well, I don't do long distance.
Yeah, I know. There will be no link to Puzzles and Dragons in our show notes.
Why is that?
I know what I feel like an enabler,
Oh dear.
Because there is an English version and it your first hit's free.
They're all free if you do it right, and that's how I play Candy Crush.
They're all free, but at what cost?
Okay, that is a good point. So the problem I have playing Candy Crush is, well, first of all, that I play it, but a little less importantly is that it sort of drives this weird little cycle where I absolutely refuse to pay for anything, but as a result of that, the only way I can play is if I wait for my lives to refresh. So for those who don't play this game, you get five of them, and every, I think, 15 or 20 minutes, you get one back.
Okay.
And then you can use it again, or you can request them from friends through Facebook.
Kind of the same here. You get stamina, and you get 1 point of stamina back every 10 minutes, and different battles require different amounts of stamina. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very interesting. Okay. Yeah. This one, like, one game is always one life, and if you lose, then you lose a life. If you win, you go on, you keep the life you had. And then your counter to get to replenish your life, your lives keeps going in the meantime. But when I run out, and I never really request people give me one, then I just kind of wait. And I know how many minutes I have until I get them all back, or at least until I get the next one. And then I'm like, all right, I gotta keep on this, or I'm going to waste time I could be spending playing this game, until I realize, oh my God, playing this game is what's actually wasting time.
Yep. Yep. There was one night where I was like, oh man, I really want to go to bed, but if I could just stay up for 5 more minutes, I'll have enough stamina to play this one level, which if I beat the level will give me a bonus with enough stamina that I could play for another couple of hours. Well, maybe not. Maybe a couple, but at least 30 minutes more. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait, why am I even playing this game? By unlocking new levels, by beating different dragons, all you unlock is the ability to fight slightly more powerful dragons. There's no character development. It has a multi, like it's online, but you don't fight any other human. You're just always against the computer, but you can kind of compare scores.
Yeah, Candy Crush is really the same way.
I don't know why I play it, but everybody plays it because it's a really good game for, like, you've got 5 minutes where you're not doing anything, and it would take too much effort to boot up a console or a computer, but it never is 5 minutes. You always play a bit longer, and I've never paid any money for any free-to-play game. And to tell you the truth, I don't know anybody who's ever paid any money to play a free-to-play game. So why are there so many of these?
It's a really good question. I did play Mafia Wars back in the day, and that's...
Is that a Facebook game?
Yeah, it's another Facebook game. It was also free-to-play, but it didn't lean nearly as heavily as Candy Crush does. But all the Zynga games were like that, you know? And this is by King, I think. It's a different brand. But even Mafia Wars was a lot like a more text-based Mafia game I played in college. So that was like 12, 13 years ago. But that didn't have any kind of free-to-play element. It was just free, I think, as I recall. But Candy Crush is something very insidious. It basically actively encourages you to recruit your friends. And not just because it asks you to get free lives from them or send moves or whatever, but there becomes a point where you finish a stage, like a whole level, a whole world, and you have to get 3 quote unquote tickets to get to the next level. And you have to ask your friends to give you a ticket.
All right. Now, this is the only place I've heard of Candy Crush. Because as I said, I didn't even know what kind of game it was, but I have heard of Candy Crush. Because on Facebook, I was constantly getting, you should play Candy Crush now because I need something.
Right.
Just that's it. Before that, it was Mafia Wars, and before that, it was Farmville, and before that, it was, you know, there's always some big game that everybody's always trying to get me to play. And my friends in Japan are trying to get me to play this one Final Fantasy one that looks terrible.
Yeah. Is it the Final Fantasy IV remake for Android? No, sorry, that's something else. We must be talking about different things. I'll link that one in the show notes too. I think that was from Kotaku. I'll have to look that up.
Probably the worst Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy All the Bravest.
That just sounds terrible.
It is a game that you can play without actually looking at the screen or the game.
That doesn't make any sense.
You basically just touch your troops to have them fight, and you can buy classic characters from other Final Fantasy games, Squall and Cloud and, you know, all Rydia, you know, all the classic characters, but you buy them in as like a vending machine style format. Like you pay $1 to get a random character.
You know,
that
almost sounds like the Street Pass games on 3DS. I mean, maybe we should come back to that in a little bit, but
it's very similar. Yeah,
it's very similar. Okay.
But the thing about these games is I don't know why I play it. I don't know, but I don't know how they make money. What I hear is that they make money from what they call whales. You know,
Right. Yeah. The whole thing is the subsidized gaming model, and there's people at the top who pay the most, whether they can afford it and their lives fall apart or not. And there's the rest of us who stubbornly refuse to pay it, who they're subsidizing.
Yeah, exactly. They're paying for us to be able to play. But I don't know. I feel like these games have really no value to me.
I kind of feel the same way. So why do we play them so much?
I don't know. And the thing is, if I actually did enjoy the game, I still wouldn't support the developer who made it.
Well, it's because you can't.
You can't without feeling like a sucker.
Yeah, I was talking to Phil Bond about this, actually, and that's kind of what gave me the idea to maybe talk about this as a podcast. His exact quote was, "When you make a game where paying any money whatsoever feels like cheating, that has to be a mistake, right?" I totally
that's
agree.
Nice.
I totally agree.
Because by paying money, you accomplish, like, you avoid having to play the game. Hold on, let me put this another way.
Yeah.
Main payment models are you pay to get, like, power-ups, which you can usually acquire in the game, in the game itself, if you played a long time, if you grinded. So either to get in-game weapons or money or something, you know, you can use real money instead. Or the other one is to give more times or more turns.
Yeah.
So basically, the two things we pay for are to be able to play the game more and to be able to play the game less.
All right, Candy Crush is just like this. So yeah, you can pay for more lives, for instance, right? You can also pay for more power-ups, which you don't necessarily get in the game, necessarily. So the game does have mechanics, which is what bothers me about people wanting to pay for it. If you pay attention to what you're doing, you can create these like super candies. So you get four in a row, for instance, and it becomes a striped candy, like vertical or diagonal.
I don't know what that means, but I bet it.
Well, I can tell you what it means. So, like I said, it's kind of like Panel de Pon, right? You want to get three in a row, and then that removes the line, and then all the candy falls down. But instead of swapping just left and right, it's like in any vertical or horizontal direction. So if there's like two and then one, and you can like move one into that line of four, that becomes a striped candy. And if you're paying attention to what you're doing, the way you move that candy in makes it a horizontal or vertically striped candy.
Okay.
And if you don't notice that right away, you wouldn't notice what happens.
Okay.
So if you then get that striped candy into a set of at least three, then it removes the entire line.
Yeah.
Which there are caveats to that. There are different kinds of obstacles like blocks or chocolates or something like that will either stop the progress or only remove like one layer of obstacle to getting that entire block clear. So like there are some challenges where you're supposed to clear the entire playing area by breaking those jellies or whatever.
Okay.
And the second type of power up is like a wrapped candy, and that's where if you get kind of an L shape, so it has to be a set of five, but they're in like a right angle. You can, if that gets into a set of three, at least three, then that will make an explosion. The third kind is a jeweled candy, and that's in a row of five, like a vertical or horizontal row of five, and that's, you get that. And then you use that, and it will, whatever you switch it into, that color candy, then those all disappear. But then you can merge them in different ways. So if you have two striped candies together, then they'll go in vertical and horizontal at the same time, regardless of if they're already horizontal or vertical striped candies. You do two packaged ones together, and that will make a bigger explosion. You do two jeweled ones together, and that will erase everything on the screen. Okay. And there's combinations of those three together, and I won't go into those. But if you know all those mechanics, then you can play this game mostly without having to pay any money.
You're so excited about this game.
I know a lot about it. It's because it's my example of why free-to-play is horrible and wonderful at the same time. Because there's a lot of game to play, but it's like you said. You know, I'm interested in just playing the game. So I would, if I would pay money, I would pay to have more turns, but I don't do it.
Like, I guess that's a good question. Like, is the you compare the game to Panel de Pont? Is Panel de Pont a better game than Candy Crush, or is Candy Crush that much better?
I think Candy Crush has more you can do, but Panel de Pont's a better game because I pay for it once and I'm done.
I think that's now. I was thinking about this the other day. The whole Puzzles and Dragons game that I'm playing, I was thinking to myself, would I buy this as a game? I don't think I would, although Pan just proved me wrong. Because they released a non-smartphone game. This is one of the first games that has gone from free-to-play to retail.
Fascinating.
They took the smartphone game, gave it a storyline similar to Pokemon, where you actually walk around and, you know, meet other, I don't know, players or something. And it's taken the game, and, you know, now you have unlimited turns and, you know, everything available. They turned a free-to-play smartphone game into a $50 3DS game. And it has already sold 1 billion copies.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know, but I remember I was sitting there playing it, and my wife's like, what are you playing all the time? You're always playing the game. And I'm like, this is Puzzles and Dragons. And she's like, what's it like? And I'm like, it's kind of like Puzzle Quest or Bejeweled. And she's like, oh, I like Bejeweled. And,
no.
But she doesn't like the free-to-play one, the Bejeweled Blitz. She just regular one. But she's like, yeah, but this isn't like Bejeweled because there's no skill involved.
Yes.
Because in Puzzles and Dragons, you can move the colored pieces to anywhere you want at any time.
What the hell's the point of that?
I guess there's some skill, like you can get combos and stuff, but at a certain point, it's pretty random. It's so easy to play. My 4-year-old daughter plays it all the time.
Wow, that's
If you're just trying to gain money, for buying in-game stuff rather than using real money, I will hand the phone to my daughter sometimes, and she'll just do it for me. Oh my God, I've made a gold farmer. Oh, what have you done to me, free to play?
Oh no.
But no, that's exactly what I did, because it's not worth my time to do it, but she kind of likes the game because it's colorful.
Okay, sure.
Oh, my gosh, I am a terrible father. I'll reevaluate my parenting style later, but...
Well, yeah, that and I leaving them to fall asleep on the couch while your new wife play Mario 3D World.
Oh, I know. This is two podcasts in the row of child neglect. Okay, anyway.
Good thing we live in Japan. Do they even have child services there?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to understand them if they came to the door. But I'm thinking, if I really can't even be bothered to play this game myself, I have to get someone else to play it for me. Why haven't I deleted it from my phone?
Good question.
I'm playing it all the time, and my wife's like, so it's kind of like Pokemon? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, why don't you play Pokemon instead? And I'm like, well, I don't have Pokemon. And she's like, you know, you can get it. And I have since then. I have a Pokemon game right now. Yes, I know. It,
what?
I don't know for Pokemon's names, but yeah. But, so I have Pokemon, and I started to play that, but it takes too much brain power sometimes. You know, there's a lot of management in that, and there's a game, and you gotta play for more than 5 minutes in a row. So I still keep going back to this free to play garbage, because it's just, you know, video games are a meal. Free to play is like that snack that you see. You don't need it, but you know
they're empty calories.
It is the empty calories of video games.
It does make me question the entire point of gaming, you know, because if you really think about it, no gaming has any point.
No. What?
Well, I guess this podcast is over. Thanks for listening, everyone. I think we're going to shut our fam account dojo for good now.
My life. I have value. Okay.
I don't actually think that's true. I think really good games, you know, the ones that have really great stories, can say something about society and life in general, or, you know, others. you know, can teach you important headshot skills, which hopefully never have to use in real life. I'm sorry I even said that.
But I think almost everyone with a smartphone has at least tried one of these games, even though there are much better games available on smartphone. I don't know whether, like, I avoided free-to-play games up until this year, like, completely.
Sure.
But it was pressure from friends, actually, who were just like, you need to play this. Please play this. Please, please play this so we can be on the same team.
Right, right. And, like, Facebook outsources that for you as well. It's like, because they just encourage it as part of their model.
And I'm not going to do that to anybody. Like, this podcast, if I was that kind of person, this podcast would be great for everybody. Everybody, please add me. My number is blah, blah, blah. But no. But do add me on Wii U. I don't think that gives me any benefit, but I like to see Famicom Dojo people pop up. It's Famicom Vink. That's my Miiverse ID. So you can access me through Wii U or 3DS.
Oh, yeah, because those are linked now. Yeah, I don't think I've linked mine yet.
And I should
do that.
You friend me that it's from Famicom Dojo, because otherwise I don't know and I'll just delete it. So.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I'm Sean Norris, and I tend not to friend the people, but you can totally follow me. And there is an actual Famicom Dojo Nintendo ID that you can friend and follow. I will probably respond to those when I think to check them. I'm terrible. I'm sorry. So yeah, I don't want to, I think the point of this podcast is to not encourage people to play or pay for free to play, but we should, this is like a cautionary tale kind of thing that gets people to start smoking or something, you know. We can't really control the outcome, but I want to tell you what I feel about this.
Okay. For sure. Okay. Well, I think an even more insidious thing, cause I understand free to play. Like, I may not really like it, but I understand.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It you know, if you play it smart and don't get crazy about it and don't have that gambling instinct, you can play most of these games for free, and people must at least enjoy them, because they're the top downloaded apps and stuff.
Well, but it totally does feed on the gambling instinct, because you only have like so many turns to make it, and you're like, you know, hitting something, like there's some kind of reward for being successful, you know. And it's like, if you run out of time, it's like, nope, you're cut off. It's like, no, I need more. You know, it's like, how do you manage that impulse? And I'm kind of glad that you run out of lives for things like Candy Crush, because I might not stop playing if I can just keep going.
There is the game, Game Dev Story. Did you ever play it? I know I've recommended it 1,000.
Yes, and I got addicted to that as well. And like I played one time all the way through, and that was it.
Game Dev Story, every couple of months I go, oh, I remember liking this. Why did I like this so much? 7 hours later. But that was not free to play. It's just, and that's the thing. Since it's not a free to play, you don't have any limit to turns. You know, you just.
Yeah, turn-based games are like their own kind of thing. And like Civ 5 and I do not get along, because Civ 5 will destroy my life.
Did you ever play BBS door games back in the day?
No.
Okay. Before graphical internet, there used to be, you know, bulletin board services like local networks. And I used to play a game called Baron Realms Elite. Oh, I'm really dating myself here. I think anyone under the age of 30 is not going to know what I'm talking
about. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm not under 30, and I don't know what you're talking about. How do you spell that?
Baron? I think it's just B-A-R-R-A, you know, like at Barren Wasteland, Barren Realms Elite. There was also Solar Realms Elite, Legend of the Red Dragon. I played a bunch of these different ones.
Are you saying Realmsly? What are you saying?
What?
What? Barren what?
Barren Realms.
Realms.
R-L-M-S. Yeah. Elite.
Elite. Barren Realms Elite. Got it.
But you could log on and you could play only a certain number of turns a day. Now, the reason for this was, of course, because most of these bulletin board service networks could only have one person connected at the same time. You had unlimited, and the larger ones could have 5. You know, it was pre-internet. It was just one computer to another computer. So you had a limited number of turns and time. Like, in general, you could only go on these things for like 30 minutes at a go. And I remember
that, because someone has like call you on your landline, right?
Yeah. Well, they didn't call you. You called them. But I remember my friend and I, we both played Baron Rome's Elite, and we both wanted to get in our turns, but his house was slightly closer to the school. So unless I ran, he would be on, and I'd get the busy signal.
Oh, that's funny.
Whenever it went. And he'd always play his turns before me and get the good stuff. But anyway, it was a management sim. Like, I think you had your own kingdom. I don't even remember how you played it exactly. All I do remember is you were fighting other realms, and your network could go to, you could like play it on your own, or your network could combine to attack like other kingdoms.
Okay.
It would actually access the internet once a day, like the real internet, not just the bulletin board service.
Mm.
And play off turns. So like, I remember once we were building up arsenals or whatever, because we were going to attack another like planet or something. Was it a planet? Was it a country? I still don't remember. But we were building up, and we were all donating money and supplies to this mission. And then we would have to wait a day to find out what the result from the mission was, because at the end of the day, the server would send something to the internet to connect to all the other networks to see how it played out. Mm-hmm. It was like playing chess by mail. But I remember the name of the attack was the Gooey Kablooey, which
okay.
I'm guessing Calvin and Hobbes. But I just remember we were talking on a bus. On the school bus, and it was like we were talking like, yeah, we're almost, I think we're about 2 days out from having enough for the Gooey Kablooey. And this kid on the bus, older kid, much tougher looking kid, looked at us and was like, nerds. And I'm like, yep. You know, those games were free, but it was basically the same type of thing. You had a limited number of turns. And at the time, as a kid, I was maybe 11, 12, 13, I don't know, something around there when this happened. And if someone would have had a button that would have said, 3 more turns, 99 cents, oh, I would have hit that button.
That is what Candy Crush does to you, right? Like, you get to your last set of moves, like last 5 moves or so, and it's like, hey, you can buy 5 more moves for so many like gold bars, and like those to convert into actual currency at summary, I'm not really sure of, because I never pay for them. But it's like, it just reminds me, like, every time I fail, I feel extorted, because I always wonder in the back of my mind, are they designing this level so that I have to pay them? There is always at least like one or two set of levels during the world where you can't get past it the first time or the first 5 times, because it depends on a drop, essentially, that you just get happen to get lucky enough to get the right kind of power up to get past the level. I'm actually at a level right now I'm stuck at, which I haven't played for the last couple of months, where I have to get 2 of those jeweled candies and merge them together.
Okay.
And what's tough about this is that there's like a column of 3 candies that they can actually drop down at, and you have to use that to get it. So I've gotten 2 before, but they've never been close enough to each other to merge together and complete that part of the challenge. And that one just cries out to me, hey, you know, if you pay a little extra, you can buy a power up to either place it in there for you or to make it more likely to get one. And I don't know. Are they trying to get me to pay at that point? I'm not really sure, because it all depends on luck.
They're definitely trying to get you to pay. But that's cheating. It's totally cheating. That's another thing. Free-to-play has eliminated the cheat code.
No kidding, right? Like, there was a time when you had to like dial 900 number, or you had to like get a strategy guide to get past a game. And now they can't make – 900 numbers even exist anymore? Do people even call them? But yeah, it's like how else are they going to extract that money?
Today, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, B, A, start would be $4.99.
It's – there you go. I feel like this podcast is over. Well, here's how I feel about it, right? Like, it's maybe I feel like the whole damn kids thing still, but it seems like anything that's not press A to win, any moment they meet resistance to like their ability to continue in the game, that's bad. But now you can pay to get past that. You feel bad about a game here. Give us money and we'll make you feel less bad about it.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel bad.
Well, I think the more insidious one, the real bad one out there, is a game that you pay full price for, but it has free to play elements.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I have an example.
Like Forza Motorsport on Xbox One. I haven't played it, admittedly, but like basically you start with a certain number of cars, but more than half of the cars, much more. I think I'm not sure if I'm right on this, but I think it's like 90% of the available vehicles in the game are either unlockable or buyable. But unlocking them requires so much effort, so much time, that to get the full game experience, it's much easier to just pay. And to get every vehicle, we're talking hundreds of dollars.
Oh, wow.
Stuff that's already either on the disc or on the servers, you know? And I'm just thinking to myself, and what, there was an interview and someone called them on this. They went, "What about this?" And they're like, "Oh, we just want to have an extra option for people who don't have the time to spend the time." Because they're like, they said specifically, there is nothing you have to buy in this game. All content is available with enough, you know, playing. But for some of our customers who don't have the time, we are offering this option to spend the money to get it out. But I was just thinking to myself, so only rich people don't have time? Or or if you really are doing it as a service for the customer, have it unlocked from the beginning. I like unlocking things in games. I do enjoy it. I like unlocking stuff. It's fun to have new levels and stuff. But to unlock things that I feel, you know, should be kind of the core of the game, it just doesn't sit well with me, because you're already paying $60 for a game and now you've got to buy more. Now, if they released Forza as a free-to-play game, I don't think I'd feel this way. You know what I mean?
Would you play it, though?
I don't like racing games that much. We'll take Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct's doing that, right?
Yeah, Killer Instinct, Plants vs. Zombies 2, I think.
Yeah. And the free-to-play, having tons of free-to-play, it turns me off to a game altogether. I won't even bother. What was your example?
I have two, actually. Mass Effect 3 multiplayer and...
I'm on the Wii version, so I don't know about the multiplayer.
Okay. I'll do that one first then. So on Xbox 360, which is the version I have, the multiplayer, I think there's people who play multiplayer in Wii U, I'm pretty sure. But on 360, it's like the multiplayer is kind of a subset of the main game. You don't have your full set of powers. You have, like, I think two or three that are mapped to specific buttons. Because it's, like, real time. Like, in the main game, you can kind of pause and pick your power or pick your weapon or whatever. But you can't do that during a live action, like, four-way match or whatever.
Okay.
So you only have these instantaneous powers. But you can upgrade your weapons. You can upgrade your armor and make it easier to survive at the higher, like, platinum level. Is it gold? Sorry, the higher gold level. Which success gets you more points for your overall main game, which is how you know there is a component where the multiplayer counts towards your overall battle readiness to beat the game, and okay, they've reduced that in patches since, but I don't know if they've eliminated it yet. So it's a necessary part. What you can do to make that progress go faster, because you can earn in-game currency through the multiplayer to pay for these kind of random drops. So you like buy an ammo pack. But you can pay like $2 for like the highest level of ammo pack, and you guarantee to get like one kind of weapon drop or one kind of armor drop, and not a specific item.
Is this something that changes the dynamic permanently, or is this a one-time consumable thing?
Yeah, there's both.
Okay, because consumable ones, those bother me the most.
Yeah, the consumable ones definitely exist, but there are like weapons and other things you can get to permanently change it. And your character can level up to level 20, I think. And at that point, it can become a war asset in the main game, or it can just keep playing them as a multiplayer character in the multiplayer. But I did end up spending about $10 because I was playing with people and I was trying to level up my character as fast as possible because I wasn't playing as often as they were. I had, you know, my firstborn was only a few months old and I just didn't have enough time to play that
you
game.
You picked to be able to avoid having to play the game.
I did. And that was the only time I've ever done any kind of free to play, even though I paid $60 for this game initially. So the Wii U version, I believe, apart from not having anyone to match with, I think took out the actual pay portion of that. So it's all in-game currency.
Just because Nintendo's system wasn't set up for it.
Yeah. I don't have my second example immediately that come to mind, so we'll probably just skip it anyway, because we should probably go on to Future Retro.
Okay, let's do that.
All right. What do you have on your Future Retro?
A lot has happened since our last podcast. I got into Super Mario 3D World, and it made me replay the NES Remix.
Wait, NES Remix, which admittedly is a new game based on classic NES games?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a classic.
It's really straddling the fence there.
It's got the pedigree. No, but we were pretty hard on this game last time. I really think we were. But
yeah, I may have released a video that was even harder on it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I think my point was more to highlight that the fact is fully emulated games in there, and that you can do really crazy things like defeat certain challenges in a really roundabout way.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? To tie it back to our topic,
yeah,
I think that one would have been a good free to play.
Ugh, cripes. Okay. Continue.
Challenge. Well, maybe not free to play. Demo is maybe a better
term. Yeah. I would have felt better if I hadn't had to pay very much for it. But I still kind of like it.
But
despite
like
what I said.
Example, I've downloaded a ton of free apps for Phoenix Wright is free on the app. But it only gives you the first chapter and you pay for the additional chapters. But I like that model.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little different than what we were talking about.
Basically, it's free demo with a way to unlock without having to play the early levels again.
Lionhead did the same thing with Fable 2.
And I'm okay with that, although I don't usually go digital for stuff, so I wouldn't be okay with that for a console release. But anyway.
Right.
But if NES Remix was like that you got some of the challenges for free, and then if you had the game on your virtual console, like you already owned Ice Climber, you'd have all of the challenges available.
Okay.
And that way it like supplements the collection you already have. But regardless, I've been playing it a lot more, and it's fun. And it's fun in a nostalgic way, and I don't know. I'm really, really liking it, and there's it's really good to just pick up occasionally, and I hope that it gets a disc release sometime in the future.
Ooh, really?
Like Luigi U did or DuckTales, because I think that would be a really, really fun one. What I would pay full video game price to have an NES Remix that has NES Remix and all of those titles on it.
Oh my goodness. I would $60?
Yeah.
Oh no. I feel like $15 was my limit on that one.
If it included the full versions of all those games.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yes. In that case it would be a good value. I agree.
Because that's one thing I miss, is we used to get a lot of retro collections, you know what I mean? Like Midway's Greatest Hits, yes. SNK Classics, stuff like that. But now they're all being sold piece, you know, one at a time. But I like those collection discs. I've got my Atari collection disc for the Dreamcast. I've got like the Namco Museum discs and stuff. It's a really nice way to archive, you know, old games to play on new systems. But I still don't totally trust Nintendo all digital that these games will be playable in a few years. You know?
That was my poorly articulated argument from the video, was that I felt like we should have gotten those games also. And especially because I have all those games for the most part. And because they're trying so hard to get you to buy them on the eShop, even though they're all fully emulated on that game already, and they show you the best parts of the game anyway.
But okay, that my kind of a cop out this week. But I just did games that I've had a change of heart on this game. We were hard on it last time, and you're, I guess, still hard on
no,
it.
No, okay, I'm going to soften because I made a joke during that video again. I'm going to keep mentioning this video as if I'm plugging it really hard. Okay, I had never really played Wrecking Crew before.
Okay.
I own it mostly for the videos we're going to do about the data recorder. I never really played it, so we do a lot of jokes about it, but NES Remix succeeded in getting me to play that game for the first time and really showing me the mechanics. I believe that the individual game stages are really preparation to get you to do the challenges better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the mechanic that they're going for. And I get that now. I didn't understand it at the time we did our podcast, but I get that now. And in the case of NES Remix in specific, I didn't really know how that game worked, and now I do, and I'm really having fun with it. So I have both Famicom and NES versions of that. I'm going to pop one of those in. I'm just going to play the game, I think. I'm not going to buy Virtual Console because I own it in the retro system, but yeah, they've succeeded, at least in one game, for me.
I still think Wrecking Crew is the weakest of the Zelda series.
That joke is never going to get old. So for me, I played something called the Stanley Parable.
The Stanley Parable?
It's okay. So I get together with Phil Bond and friends every week or so for a game night. It was originally a Lost night, and Lost has been over for a while. But one of our friends introduced us to the Stanley Parable. It's available on Steam. It's Steam Play, so you can get it on Mac or PC. And I recommend you buy this, by the way.
All right, going on Steam right now. Yes.
Okay. It's $15, at least when I bought it, so maybe we should wait for a sale. But it's a game about making choices in games, kind of. You get to this point. So it's rendered in the Havok engine, so it's all Valve-based stuff. There's a narrator who tells you what's going on in the story, and then this is one point where you get to make a decision. There's two doors, and the narrator says that when Stanley became upon two doors, he took the one on the left, and you can choose to obey or disobey the narrator at that point. And then you realize the whole game is kind of a part of that. The more you disobey him, the more he gets angry that you're not following the story. And it's this very super meta thing about choices in video games, where you kind of realize like every choice you ever make is already thought of in advance by the actual programmer, as opposed to the narrator who claims to be the story master, quote unquote. It's very interesting. I don't want to spoil too much about it because it takes some really crazy turns. But since it's very closely associated with Valve, it does harp on Portal a bit and Minecraft. To follow a certain path.
I haven't ever played Minecraft and Portal. Ooh, look, there's my pile of shame. I've got Portal.
You have Portal. You've never played Portal?
I booted it up once. I shot my Portal gun thingy around a bit.
Portal is such a good game.
Several different people do renditions of Still Alive.
That doesn't count.
Yesterday, I had some cake, but I didn't tell my wife about it, so you could say I was lying about the cake.
Should I put this video up too? So I for one of my birthdays, my friends made me this awesome chocolate cake, and it was so perfectly formed I couldn't wait to stab it with a knife, and it was really hard. I'm like, oh, I think this is frozen cake. So I had really sawed at it, and I'm like, something is wrong here. It was a hollow cardboard cake. It was literally a lie.
So someone gave you a... That was a Portal reference?
Yes. Okay. Then they introduced the real cake afterwards, which is also potentially a Portal reference. Spoilers.
Don't. Okay, but like, I know it's... I think it's a game that I'd like to watch somebody play rather than play.
I can see how you would feel that way, and that's perfectly valid, but I enjoyed playing it personally. It's the best four-dimensional game I've ever played.
I just don't like first-person perspective.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not really a first-person game, though. It's a puzzle game, I promise you.
All right. Do I have to shoot people?
No.
Can I die?
I don't remember.
Can I beat it easily?
Mm.
I know it's...
It's pretty short. I will say.
What kind of controller would I want to play?
I played it on Xbox and I had a good time with it. I think that the FPS controls on a PC would be just fine though, or a Mac in your case.
Yeah, is it keyboard mouse type thing? Can I use a gamepad?
I don't know. I played on the Xbox. Okay. I got the orange box to play it, and I haven't played any other games on the orange box.
I'll have to figure it out, because I know. That's literally shame, because, I mean, it's a game that's out there that everybody talks about that I really, really should have at least experienced to know. I reference the cake being a lie, but I don't actually understand it. Okay.
Someday, Vink. I think. So. All right. I look forward to a future podcast where you tell me it's your future retro.
All right. Yeah. Maybe it'll work this time. Mass Effect 3 still hasn't.
Not so much. All right. I'll just say that I love Portal so much that I bought Portal 2 sight unseen and was not disappointed.
Well, that's nice.
Yes.
Oh, how about you?
You got me a lot of stuff, and I did a little vlog about it, and one of those things that you got me that I mentioned was Super Back to the Future 2.
How is that?
I wouldn't know.
I got it for you like a year ago.
6 months, you know.
Okay.
I was convinced to buy it because of the GWario review.
Because it's Back to the Future. And we all know Back to the Future games are so good or terrible.
But that's just it, right? This was, before the Telltale games, the first good Back to the Future game.
Now, that one's a Japan exclusive, right?
Yeah, so it's Super Famicom. I just recently unpacked my Super Famicom and grabbed the game out. So I'm going to be playing it soon. But it was on my mind as something that I know I should play, and I have a hankering to do some Famicom Dojo based video about the LGN toys Back to the Future 2 and 3. So that kind of got me thinking about the whole thing, and I really should grab that game and play it now, I think.
Don't play those games again.
Well, I'll just do it enough to do the video, but Back to the Future 2, Super Back to the Future 2, I should say, is the one I actually want to try and play.
I mean, that Back to the Future game, if only there was an option back then of pay to stop.
I think that's mostly what the model of free-to-play is pay to stop.
Just,
honestly.
I don't even know why I kept playing it. I was not enjoying my time with it the entire time I played that game. And then... Have you ever gotten any distance in that game? I've still never beat.
No.
I've still never beat Back to the Future. In fact, in my mind, I don't know if it even is winnable. But the last stage you get, you're in the DeLorean, and you've got to go, and you have to. And these lightning bolts are falling down. You have to have it hit exactly the same time. It seemed way easier in the movie.
Okay, I can promise you that Back to the Future 3 exists on that cartridge, and we had a viewer write in to tell us exactly how to get there if you wanted to skip Back to the Future 2.
Yes, but what if you also want to skip Back to the Future 3?
Well, never turn it on. That's also an option in the Stanley Parable.
But is it a secret, or is it a menu that I just never
It's a
know?
Code. It's a code. We'll do a video about it.
All right. Okay, I'm going to look forward to that then.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, I just have one last comment about free to play. I just, please, for everyone who's making these games, give me an option to pay you. PayPal, I don't care what, to just pay you if I enjoy the game that you've made. I have gotten a lot of enjoyment out of Candy Crush, despite myself, but I don't want to have to pay you and feel dirty afterwards. I want to lie to myself about our relationship.
Okay. Here's a good question.
Okay.
If Candy Crush released an app, it's $15.
Why?
And it's really?
Yep.
Interesting.
something that we didn't really touch upon, which we can probably save for later, but the fact that it doesn't ever seem to end, they can just keep making more and more levels and it will never ever stop. That is a new feature of like the digital 21st century gaming age we live in now.
That's also a feature of Ebola, but we don't want to encourage that.
All right, on that note, I think we should end the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. You can comment on famicondojo.tv/podcast, where we have our wonderful show notes, links and videos and everything we talked about during the show. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, Famicom Dojo, or call us at 608-492-1923 and leave a 3-minute voicemail, up to 3-minute voicemail, about what you thought of the show or any questions you have for us.
And Zune.
No, there's no Zune's dead. Let it go.
Zune merely sleeps.
All right, and then until next time.
We're at Stitcher.
So we're still on Stitcher, yes. We're still on Stitcher Radio. So if you don't like downloading files, you can go to there, I guess. So until next time, the dojo is free to play.
No, not at all. The dojo, the podcast is free, but we're really hoping that you're going to buy our DVDs.
Yes. Please, if you want to support this show, please buy our DVDs. Because we don't have any advertising, which is its own way of free to play. Well, that's a whole other topic.
This is free to hear.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Until next week, kids. Famicom Dojo.